Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read together tonight just a few verses. I'm not going to cover as much as I intended tonight. Believe it or not, I know you probably won't believe me, but maybe you will. I was planning on covering the rest of this chapter tonight, but I could not get any liberty to do that. I do want to concentrate on a thought from this passage, and we will continue through it in the coming weeks. But tonight I want to preach a message to you titled, Somebody Needs Your Help. Somebody needs your help. Notice with me there, as Paul catches this vision in verse number 9. Remember, he has obeyed the Lord, the Lord's leading, as he is navigating on his second missionary journey. And God wouldn't allow him to go a couple different directions. And so he just kept going until God told him to turn. And finally, God did not tell him to turn. And that left him in Troas, which is basically at the gateway from Asia Minor to modern day Greece, to Europe. What we know as Europe now. They didn't know that as Europe then. But at this time, God is getting ready to open up a whole nother area of the world with the gospel. And so as they're obeying that call, and we see in verse number 9, the vision for that call came to them as they were in Troas. And Paul, in the night, there stood a man of Macedonia. And that's that region of Greece that we know as Greece today. A man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, if you underline your Bibles, that would be a great phrase to underline. And help us. That is the call, whether they realize it or not, of the world. The world is calling out tonight for help. And they are going to get it only in one place if they're going to get it. They're going to get it truly where it matters, through God's people. Through people that believe the Word of God, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are His children, who are His servants, who are His vessels. That is where the help is going to come from, because that's the way God designed it. And here in this passage, we see that there is a call for help. And it is significant also that we'll see that it was not a help me. It very well could have been, but it was not, because I believe this phrase here, help us, is representative of the unknown world at that time, to at least the Apostle Paul, to people that needed Christ. Help us. Church, there is a world crying tonight, asking us. Maybe they don't even realize it, but we can see it. They're crying out for help. And we, as God's children, we need just to be super sensitive to that call. And so the call comes to help us, and then we cannot neglect to notice the response that should be ours as well, of Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. They were the missionary team at this point. Maybe there were some coming along with them, but notice their response. Luke writes here, and after we had seen the vision, after he had seen the vision, Paul that is, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for what? To preach the gospel unto them. Let me pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, the burden you've given me tonight, I pray that you would just help me to convey it. I pray that it would be a help to your church. I know you've stirred my heart, Lord, and I don't want to say anything inappropriate tonight. I want to say only that which would bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and help to the brethren. Whether that comes in the form of a rebuke or a word of comfort and encouragement, Lord, it's your word. It's your truth. I just pray that it would fall on good ground tonight. I pray that we would all be united around the truth of Your Word. And God, help us to hear the call of the world saying, help. And so, Lord, have Your way tonight and change our lives forever. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Somebody needs Your help. As I mentioned, the missionary team here was arriving in the region of Macedonia. Specifically, they're going to arrive in the city of Philippi. Now, that's going to be the first major city they visit in this Roman province that we refer to as Macedonia. Now, this particular region is, as I mentioned, is modern-day Greece. Now, here's a question. Why are they here at this point? Why are they going there? Well, there's several reasons. Number one, God wanted them there. God chose them to go there. You are where you are today because God has chosen to put you in your current situation. And He has placed you there by providence. And as we are responsible to respond rightly to that placing. And sometimes we don't, unfortunately, respond like we should. But nevertheless, the Lord has placed us there. He's given us everything we have, our personalities, our families, our race, our everything. He's given us to show forth His glory. And I'm going to talk more about that here in a minute. But we see God wanted them there. Number two, we were people who needed help. There were people that needed help. That's why they're going. And thirdly, they're there because Paul and the team were willing to go. Now, let me just say a few things here. As they are venturing over into this land, they are strangers. They are strangers into this land. And you talking about crossing some racial barriers? Oh my word. We don't even truly grasp what was going on here. They're going into a pagan society, and we're going to see as we study the slave servant girl, the slave girl that was possessed with a demon. We're going to see the response as a result of putting Paul and Silas in jail because they were declaring and they were using race, if you will, as against them. And there was a lot of conflict there and a lot of bitterness and that was going on. And you know, I want to just preach a message to you tonight on the fact that somebody needs help, but I want to specifically come down to where we're at tonight. If you haven't been watching the news, you realize that there's a lot of cities in this country that are in rough shape. It's bad. And then people rioting, people being injured, looters and people that are just, it's chaos in many of the cities of America. Just right down here in Athens tonight, I believe there's going to be a protest. And by the way, let me say this, it's totally an American right to protest. That's an American right that we have that we can protest, but we must protest peacefully. Where it doesn't cause harm to any other person. And I know in Atlanta, not far from here, there has been some very serious rioting and looting and people seriously injured. Law enforcement officers injured. Even people who were protesting peacefully have been injured. And it's chaos around America right now. So I want us to put this in the context that America is crying for help tonight. Come and help us. They may not use that terminology, but you can notice it very quickly. What's happening in America right now? Why racism? Why racial profiling? Why police brutality? Why the anarchy? Why the hate? Why the hurt? Why the looting? Why the wrath? Why the division? Why? Well, I will tell you why in a very simplistic response, but I believe it is a totally accurate biblical response. The problem is sin. It's because of sin. Because in the beginning, when man sinned, we were cursed. We were cursed with a sin nature. And because of that, every man and woman, boy and girl, every person is born with a sin nature that is full of wrath, full of bitterness, full of lying, full of blasphemy, full of pride. And you can go down the list. It's what we were born with. But thank God that we have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He was the one that brought the bridge and the form of a cross when He laid His body on that cross. And He united sinful, sin-cursed man with a holy and righteous God and reconciled us together in Christ Jesus. And that was the new birth. And when a person gets born again, God gives them a brand new nature that's just like Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful for that new nature, aren't you? God gives His children, when they put their faith in Him, a brand new nature. It's the nature of Christ that is given forth by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God produces that in His children. And the only hope of America is a church that is truly revived and living out its purpose. And I'm convinced tonight that the hope of America is in churches just like this one. But we have a great responsibility, don't we? The problem is sin, but the answer is Jesus Christ. As we study through the book of Acts, we're going to see, folks, man, Paul, when he got to Lydia, what did he do? Christ. He gave her Christ. What about when he was confronted by the demon-possessed slave girl that wanted to cause distraction and really wanted to hinder them? And Paul didn't want to be associated. And we'll get into more of that. Paul didn't need Satan to be doing his promotions and advertisements. And so what did he do? He called out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the Bible says it came out immediately. It came out. And there was deliverance there. And then when he gets to the Philippian jailer, what's going to happen? A man who was on the verge of suicide, a man who was hopeless. And he comes to that very time where he's going to take his own life. And Paul says, stop! There's hope. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. Hey, if America is going to be saved, it's going to come through Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to get Jesus Christ is for people right here at Crooked Creek Baptist Church who are going to go after them with the love of Christ. We're going to ask God to give us a wake up, to stir our hearts to righteousness, to take the Word of God seriously, and to go after them. And to repent of our apathy, to repent of our pride, to repent and say, God, we want to go and help. You remember what the Lord said in Isaiah, don't you? What did He say there when Isaiah had that vision in Isaiah chapter 6? He said, Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Triune God, has looked down upon His children, those that He has saved, and He's saying, who will go for us? Who's going to go and help these people that are in sin with no help at all unless they get Christ, unless they get the message? Listen, let me say, if I haven't said it before, church, just to make it clear, I believe all of you know this clearly, but if you're tuning in live stream or somebody's listening to this message down the road, I hope it's super clear. This church, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, totally and absolutely is against racism. Racism is of the devil. Because racism is not of God. The Bible is clear that we are all made in the image of God. Every human being. God is no respecter of persons. There is there is not just one race and this race and that race. No, there's only the human race. That's the race that God created in His image. And I want to tell you right now, you as a born-again believer have to make a decision in your heart that I am not going to be a racist. I'm not going to look at someone of a different ethnic group, of a different color. I am not going to look at them any lower than myself, because we are all created equal in the eyes of Almighty God. And we just sang earlier together, who is on the Lord's side? And I want to tell you, if there's just a morsel of racism in your body that comes out and exhibits itself, I want to tell you, you're not on the Lord's side. You're just not on the Lord's side. You're on the devil's side. If anybody in this room thinks they have a right to be a racist. It is a true sin that we have to suppress, no matter what color you are, where you come from. It's not just in America. I go over to a third world country in the country of Niger, and racism is stronger there than it is even here. The different tribal groups, oh, the hatred they have towards each other because they're of different skin tones. You got the Tuareg, who mainly in that region are of a dark reddish color, but then you would have the Fulani, which a lot of the Fulani in that area are a very dark black color. And there is a strong racism there between them. And we dealt with that there. My friends, that's why we understand racism is not a skin issue, it's a sin issue. And it's all over the world. But God's people are going to have to be the ones who stand up and say it's wrong. Either way you cut it, either way you look at it, God's people are going to have to realize, if we're going to be any help to this problem, it's going to be coming forth with the Spirit of God, realizing that Satan is trying to destroy this nation. He's trying to destroy communities. He's trying to destroy cities. Hey, listen, I want to give you my opinion real quick here. I do not personally believe it is any coincidence of how this has transpired in a timeline. And let me clarify what I'm saying. Over the past 2 months, God has been moving mightily. Yes, we've been in our homes, and yes, we've been tuning in to the computer screens and whatnot, and the drive-in services, but God has been saving people and moving mightily upon His church. There's a spirit of revival that's taking place. There's a spirit of awakening taking place, not just in America, but all over the world, as the gospel has been broadcasted over the internet like we never even dreamed of. And we're going to see so much fruit from these past 2 months, brethren, in the months ahead. I'm telling you right now. And God's been working, and Satan knew it. And look what happened as things are starting to come down. We've seen God move mightily, and look what happens. An evil man takes the life of an unarmed black man, a white policeman, who was being evil. He was being evil. I don't care what anybody says. It was being evil. It was negligent. I was in law enforcement. I don't know why he was being evil. I don't understand. I'm not here to determine that man's heart. But when I was in law enforcement, we learned very clearly the use of force. And you only use the use of force. You only match their use of force. If they're trying to kill you, you better defend your life. But if they're down on the ground, apprehended, begging for mercy, you can come off, my friends. You are bound. It is a crime to continue using excessive use of force. But nevertheless, either way we cut at it, we can look at these situations and realize, wow, Satan is having a heyday. He's taken this situation, and what is caused is provoked wrath and anger in many people that know not the Lord Jesus. And what do? They don't know any better. You say, well, they should. They're sinners. They are controlled by Satan. And when they are controlled by Satan, when someone is controlled by the forces of hell, they do evil works. like busting down and blowing up buildings and vehicles and trying to abuse authorities, especially in the law enforcement realm, but taking innocent people's businesses and just wreaking havoc. That is of Satan. He's the destroyer. By the way, can I just say this right here? Please, I've said it, I'll say it again. Let's use discretion on how much media we watch. This has really just got under my skin recently. I just got to give it over to the Lord because I don't want it to provoke unrighteous anger. Righteous anger is okay. But listen, why are not Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and these other ones, why are they not filming these communities that are coming out after the rioting and showing them cleaning up? It's because they think Americans are a bunch of ignorant morons who don't know any better. Because why? They want to build a narrative that builds drama, that builds fear and scare tactics, and people, oh, we're falling apart. Listen, I don't want in any way, I don't want to take away from the seriousness of this matter of what's going around our country. But I want to tell you, be careful on how much media you watch. Because they're not showing the good things that are taking place through this, even in these communities like Minneapolis. And boy, if you didn't get a chance to hear the mayor of Atlanta, wow. And I'm sure we would disagree in a lot of areas, but that woman, she inspired me when she spoke. She spoke truth and she spoke from her heart, and she said, "This is ridiculous." And yes, we got to work towards solutions. And when we find situations like this where innocent lives are taken needlessly, absolutely. But what is going on? Hey, it's wrong. So what are we going to do about it as God's people? They're crying out for help. The people of Macedonia were crying out for help. They were in straits. There was racism here. You better believe it. There was idolatry here. You better believe it. It was bad. It was real bad. But you know what? It didn't stop this team from going forward. And my cry tonight is this. Church, we have got to go to the cry of the people who are crying out for help. We have got to run towards it. We can't stand idle and just give our opinions. Although we can give opinions, but we better go. And we better show forth action and helping the cries of these people. We're going to look at Lydia, the seller of purple. She was a religious woman. We're going to look at a young slave girl who was demon-possessed. And we're going to look at a Philippian jailer later on in our study. But tonight, I think about the names of Ahmaud Arbery, Gregory McMichael, Travis McMichael, George Floyd, and Derek Chauvin. What about those names? Those names we've heard so much about over these past few weeks. Who are these people? These are people who need help. People who needed help. What are we going to do? I wonder if anybody ever shared the gospel with Aubrey. I don't know his testimony. I wasn't there at his service. I never talked with his parents. Maybe they did. I wonder if George Floyd, I wonder if anybody had ever tried to reach him with the gospel. I wonder if anybody ever tried to invite him to church or show the love of Christ to him. I wonder if anybody had done that with Gregory McMichael and Travis McMichael and Derek Chauvin, the man who had for 8 minutes had a look of evil on his face when he had a knee on the neck of an innocent man, an armless man. They need help. They're representative of a human race that needs help. We got to look through. Hey, we can't look at color. If I can use this reverently, God is colorblind. God doesn't see color. He sees souls. And that's my cry tonight. May God help us as a church to see souls. Don't see what area of town they live in, what they wear, what color they are. No! God, deliver us from that. Help us to see the eternal souls, because every person we lay eyes on is living somewhere forever. It's time for Crooked Creek Baptist Church to wake up. We're going to wake up and we're going to say, Lord, we want to hear their cry. God teach us to hear their cry. I'm glad that Luke took ownership. He didn't just say, as Paul got a vision, notice what verse number 10 says. It says that we immediately endeavored to go into Macedonia. Now don't miss this. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called. What's that word? He took ownership. He said, we were assured that God called Paul. No, my friend, Luke, who was a part of the team, believed in what Paul was going to do, believed it was Christ-like, believed it was the will of God, and Luke piped up, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and said, assuredly gathering, God has called us. Hallelujah. That's us. This is not just Pastor Brinson's vision. This is just not your Sunday school teacher's vision. It's not your parents' vision. This is our vision. This is our vision. God has called us to go and hear their cry. And how can we do that, brethren? It's a great question. How can we go and reach those that are crying out for our help? Let me give you several things. Number one, as we'll notice in this chapter, we have got to pray, as what Thomas said this morning. I'm not going to dwell on that, but how can we pray? Well, first of all, we can pray for peace. Pray for the peace of these cities. Pray that God would give us wisdom and knowing what we can do. You know what? Satan's going to fight us in the prayer closet. We're going to study here in a minute in verse number 16. Notice what it says. I'm not going to dive into this passage, but after Lydia got saved and baptized, her whole family, in verse 16 it says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. Oh boy, what happened then? A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us. When we get serious about getting on our knees before God in our closets and our homes around the family altar, when we get serious about praying right here at this church, whether it be in this altar or in your pew, I'm telling you, Satan's going to fight us. He'll fight your prayer life. He sure will. Because he knows God's working. And we got to say as a church, no, we by God's grace are not going to give an inch. We are going to pray more than ever before. Tonight there needs to be some decisions that, Lord God, I've been very flippant in my prayer life. I need to pray for the power of God upon our local church so that we can make a difference in this community that's filled with hate and division and wrath and destruction. God, make me one who shows forth the light of Christ, who shows forth hope. It's going to be us praying, Lord, give us wisdom as a church. What can we do? And secondly, not only pray, but we give the gospel. Paul gave the gospel everywhere he went. He went into the city. He gave the gospel. Folks, we got to give the gospel. Can I just say this, please, very clearly and dogmatically? I got to be careful there. Y'all going to be praying for me to be healed again. Without the gospel, this country will never be changed. Never be changed. I think about that. You think about that. It's not going to be Washington. It's not even going to be the National Guard. It's not going to be the military. Although I'm very patriotic, support our military, support our government. I'm thankful. But that's not going to be it. It's going to be people getting the gospel. And I'm afraid the church has fallen asleep in this. We hear it day in, every night. Here he goes again. Share the gospel. Preach the gospel. But the question is, are we doing it? Are we making an effort to get people the Word of God, no matter what their color is, and no matter who they are? Can we go to them and give them the gospel? Can you share the gospel on your social media accounts? Can you tell your friends about the Lord? Can you just make a point to share it with your coworkers and your family members? Can you just share the gospel, brethren? I'm begging you, please, if America is going to be helped, you got to give them the gospel. We try to give you tools, and I hope you'll take them. We got one called Seeking a Cure. These are gospel tracts. What's next? Have you been rescued? And about three or four other great written tracts that we want to give out. I hope you will start taking them and handing them out, church, to people you see and smile them and tell you love them. And Jesus loves them. You say, I can say that? I hope you can say that. Because God tells you to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then if you love yourself, which you do, we take care of ourselves. God's the one that said it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that wasn't derogatory at all. There was a negative connotation to that. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, implied, you do love yourselves. You take care of yourselves. You want the best for yourselves. You do want to grow and succeed. So therefore, why not look at other people, no matter their color, no matter who they are? Give them the gospel. Tell them you love them. Tell them that Jesus loves them even more. That's what's going to change America. It's going to change the hearts. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, not only do we pray and ask God to help us and ask God to bring peace and give us wisdom and know how we can do His work, and we give the gospel, and we do not neglect that great responsibility, but then just this one powerful word here, love. And not just phileo love, but I mean agape love. We have got to love our neighbors. Not just in the sense of giving them the gospel. That's the primary mission, is to give them the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is. But then, what about just acts of kindness? Not based on what people deserve. That's not agape love. Agape love is going the extra mile to extend love and compassion to those that perhaps don't deserve it. You know, I look at those people out there on the streets rioting in Minneapolis and Atlanta, and you know what's tempting is to get all wrathful and resentful and bitter. That's the temptation. Hey, but you know what the Word of God declares? Such were some of you. By the grace of God, that isn't me. It very well could have been, except for the grace of God. When I see the atrocities that I see around America and the things that are going on through this, but such were some of you, and we just need to extend love to those people. Forgiveness and truth and the gospel. I wonder if anybody's going to go to prison and share the gospel with those men that are there now. Tell them that, yes, what you've done is wrong. And the justice will be served. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven who will forgive you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Going the extra mile to cross racial barriers. Let me give you some practical advice here. As a white male, I don't know and don't pretend to know how it feels to be a black male in our society. I'm not going to even venture to go there because I don't. But what I do know is that by the grace of God, you know what I can do? I can go the extra mile to always make sure that they know I love them. And I want to give some application here. I do think that will help in a practical way through the love of Christ, through the Holy Spirit. We go the extra mile to cross the racial barriers to show extra love. In our communication to them, and the way we see them daily, we go the extra mile to speak and talk. Whether it's Hispanic, black, white, Asian, it does not matter. You have a different ethnic group. Hey, as a Christian, that ought to be a flag in our hearts right over. Let me go make sure I show this person. It doesn't matter that we're of a different color or of a different background. I love you. Sometimes we get all scared about that. That's what needs to happen. I'm so thankful God put me in a neighborhood where it is of both Caucasian families and African American families. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for my neighbor. She's precious. And my other neighbors as well. I'm so thankful. Because we are equals no matter what. We got to get past that. And my friends, as Christians, we got to promote humility and unity. We got to promote the gospel. And if we're going to promote the gospel, we absolutely cannot be racist at all. Because that totally undermines the power of the gospel, because it's not of Christ when we show respect to certain groups. Are you willing to go the extra mile, friend? Are we willing to go the extra mile? I hope you'll pray with me tonight, church. I tried to convey a burden. I don't know that I've done it adequately, and forgive me if I haven't, but I've tried to convey a burden to you tonight that we have got to wake up. Because if we stand by and do nothing, we're part of the problem. But it's not just social reform that we're talking about here. It goes way deeper than that. It's heart transformation that is needed. And we can stand by and complain about the heathen all day long. But remember our study last Wednesday night? God helped me so much in that, and in just that word study. Remember about 5 weeks ago, we were in 1 Peter. I was down there in my office in the cave. I felt like I was in a cave, like Osama bin Laden down there doing messages. It was weird. But I gave the message, and what we were talking about is this. We were talking about the brethren. They were strangers. And if you break down the Greek meaning of that word stranger, it means this. It's two Greek words. It means to put among, or among. The second word is heathen. God says, I have made you strangers. Peter says, you are strangers scattered abroad. And each of us have been divinely placed right in the midst of heathen for a reason. To show forth the love of Jesus Christ. That's their only hope. To point them to the cross. The way of the cross. We're strangers, brethren. We are strangers. We've been planted among the heathen. We're pilgrims. We're moving through. We're going to be out of here. But while we're here, let's be a part of the solution and bringing a country together in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm praying about some things that the Lord would help us open our eyes to that. But for tonight, as we close, I want to ask you to spend some time in prayer with me. Here in just a moment, we'll be closing out the live stream service. But I do ask you, at those of you that are at home here in just a moment, if you would just please take the time after the live stream ends, please take time there with your family and just spend some time in prayer about those ways. Lord, help us to have wisdom and peace right now of what to do as a Christian. Number two, Lord, help me give the gospel like never before. And number three, as we pray, as we looked here, we say, Lord, let me go the extra mile in showing that love.